I thought maybe y'all didn't like me. He put his ham-sized hands on his hips and scowled at her.
What makes you say a stupid-ass thing like that?
Gina sighed. She was beginning to feel like a moron herself. She never should have brought up the subject, because acting needy wasn't cool. I don't get invited to the cookouts, she mumbled. God, how lame. She might as well be in middle school again. Boom's mouth fell open, and he looked thoroughly befuddled.
The cookouts?
Yeah, when y'all hang out together. Funny, as she watched, his dark skin took on a sheen as he began to sweat. He rubbed his jaw. He looked left, then right, as if some elusive answer lurked off to the side. He said. Yeah. She sighed. Never mind. I know I'm not a real part of the team. I'm a tech FNG you've been saddled with. Boom was beginning to get the panicked, slightly crazed look a lot of men got when confronted with things like female feelings and etiquette.
The wives do it,
he finally blurted.
You're blaming it on the wives?
The same wives who, I'd like to point out, I've never met. It was probably mean of her, but she was beginning to have fun. Boom looked so totally helpless and at sea. And it was kind of funny because after Levi, he was the one the others on the team looked to for guidance, because he was the oldest and most experienced.
You haven't?
She snorted. Nice try. You know I haven't. I'm fairly certain you'd have noticed if I'd been sitting at your dinner table. More jaw rubbing. He shifted his feet.
He said again. Then he rallied. The wives plan the barbecues. If any of the single guys are dating someone regularly, they're welcome to bring the girlfriends. But most of them don't unless it's starting to feel serious. I guess we didn't introduce you, did we?
Not that I remember.
Okay. My wife's name is Teresa. Snake says Elani. She's Hawaiian. She does some catering on the side, so when she cooks we like to be there because she's damn good. Teresa's a nurse. That means she orders a mean pizza.
I'm going to tell, Gina blurted, because for sure he'd get in trouble if his wife knew he'd said that. She relished having something to hold over any of the guys, even the nice ones. Well, they were all nice, except for Voodoo. And Levi. He glared at her.
You better not. No way in hell am I arranging for you to come hang out with the team if you're gonna start tattling.
Are you? Arranging, I mean.
I guess. I'll tell Teresa you've been left out. She'll get mad at all of us, then she'll call Elani. Then they'll get something planned.
Gina had a second thought. How about I throw together a taco bar or something like that at my place? If she'd taken the time to have a third thought, she'd have kept her mouth shut, because Boom jumped on that like a duck on a June bug. Evidently, he'd thought twice about informing his hard-working wife she needed to put together a cookout. A split second after, she remembered how small her place was. If all the guys brought dates, if Boom and Snake both brought their kids, she'd have about 20 people crammed into her little condo. She didn't even have enough chairs for 20 people to sit down. Oh, what the hell. She could buy some cushions and throw them on the floor. The kids at least wouldn't mind. And she'd make sure she was one of the floor setters herself. She forced herself to concentrate on the rest of the parachute lessons, but damn, if anything could distract her from her terror at the idea of jumping out of a plane, throwing a kind of impromptu party for the guys, and two wives, an unknown number of girlfriends, as well as some little kids, did the job. Then, the next day, the weather god smiled on her. Rain didn't stop them from training. It just made the training more physically miserable. Oddly enough, it gave her the courage to take that first jump off the tower, because she figured the ground was muddy enough to give her some cushion. Looking up, the tower didn't seem that high. Looking down was a whole different perspective. Even in harness, knowing she was hooked to safety ropes, her stomach was knotted up. But this wasn't much different from ziplining, and she'd done that a bunch of times. Well, the first part, The stepping off into thin air and trusting your harness. That was like ziplining. The landing and learning how to hit and roll was something new. Twice she face-planted in the mud, much to the guy's amusement. Even Voodoo laughed out loud. "So glad I can make y'all happy," she snarled as she picked herself up a second time.
"We've all done exactly the same thing," Jelly said cheerfully. "You're doing good."
The rain was still coming down when she went to the swing landing training. But at least for that, she was under a roof. The concept behind swing landing was that she was pulled from side to side, mimicking wind, and she had to learn how to guide a parachute under those conditions. "Ziplining, ziplining," she chanted to herself as they ran through the exercise again and again. She was safe. Her harness was connected to ropes. She wasn't going to fall. She might land wrong and break a bone, but that was true of ziplining too. So she handled the swing landing training just fine. That left only actually jumping, out of a plane, from a couple of miles up. Oh, shit. But, thank God, the rain didn't let up, and the weather system that produced the rain added some healthy wind gust to the mix. Levi made the call to postpone the last phase of jump training, and Gina lurched from one panic-inducing scenario to another. The taco bar at her place. The food, and the lack of space, were the least of her problems. A date. She needed a date. She was a woman. She knew the wives would be more friendly to her if she had a man of her own on the scene. So they'd know she wasn't poaching on husbands. And that wasn't all. She needed some protection, so Levi... She shut that thought down before it could form. Some paths weren't meant to be traveled, and some ideas were better left alone. Discretion wasn't her strongest point. But her survival instinct was nice and healthy. Date. Date. Who to ask? She hadn't had a date since... Damn, she didn't remember. But definitely not since she'd started training to join Levi's team. She and Donnelly had never managed... Donnelly! Of course! How obvious could it be? Her own guys had so effectively separated her from the herd that she seldom saw any of her fellow trainees these days. Outside the computer training sessions with the drones. For all she knew, Donnelly had landed in a relationship since the last time they'd tried to get together for a movie. As soon as she was headed home, she pulled up his cell number in her contacts list.
"Hey babe, what's up?"
Gina curled her lip at her heartily disliked nickname, but got straight to business. "Hey, listen, are you seeing anyone now?"
"Not really. Who has the time?"
"Amen to that." "Good. If I throw together a taco bar this weekend..." Oh, shit. The time had slipped away and the weekend was on top of her now. "Tomorrow, actually. For my guys and their wives and girlfriends, so we can get to know each other. Would you be available as my date?"
"Sure. That's assuming neither of us breaks something between now and then."
"Always." "Okay, that's set." She told him the time, gave him the address.
"Got it. By the way, congrats."
"Yeah? For what?" She couldn't think of anything she'd done that warranted congratulations.
"Word is you're starting jump training."
Just like that, the bottom dropped out of her stomach again. Why would he congratulate her on her impending death? Oh, that. Yeah, kind of. Kind of in that she'd completed 2/3 of it, and the only thing left was actually jumping.
"I heard the teams don't jump very often."
"Lord, please let that be true. I hope not."
"It's the last phase of training, right? After that, you'll be mission active."
Gina's eyes widened.
"Really?
Mission active? No one had told her that. Maybe they thought she knew. Maybe it was common knowledge among the other trainees. Same deal as before. Her contact with them was limited. And when they were together, they were all so intensely focused on what they were doing then, that there hadn't been much conversation. Or maybe Levi hadn't told her because he hoped if she didn't know, she wouldn't have the motivation to try harder. She couldn't stop herself from circling back to the truth, that no matter how hard she tried, or what she accomplished, He still didn't now, and never would, want her on his team. The knowledge was acid in her veins. She couldn't let herself dwell on it. She had to get in the right mindset, focus on the right outcome. The jump training was do or die. This was it, the last hurdle. No pressure, right?
I'm not looking forward to it, Donnelly continued. But at least I have a couple more weeks before I reach that stage. You're ahead of the rest of us.
I am?
Yes, smartass,
he said, and she could hear the smile in his voice.
You're damn good with computer games, and you know it.
But so are you, and all the others. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been targeted. Picked. He laughed.
I hear you. I signed on for a nice inside sitting-down job, and instead I got this. But I'm never bored.
Who had time to be bored? That's for sure. Listen, thanks for bailing me out. She started to say bye and end the call, but a detail popped into her head. Wait, what's your first name? She'd have to know in order to make introductions. How would it look if she was barely acquainted with her own date? He snorted.
Now I know for certain why we never managed a date.
She supposed that was true enough. If she'd been truly interested in him, she'd have made time somehow. And she'd have found out his first name.
It's Brian, he said.
Bye, Brian. Throwing together even an informal group thing took a lot of planning. Even with the jump hanging over her head like a sword. She'd made lists. A grocery list. A list of who she was inviting. A list of cleaning chores that needed to be done. She needed extra seating, some music. Maybe stream a movie, and something to keep the kids occupied. She put all her lists on a clipboard and carried it around with her, putting check marks beside each item as she took care of it, or each name as she asked each team member. They all said yes, even Voodoo, which surprised the hell out of her. He barely glanced at her as he muttered a brief, "Sure." But it wasn't as if she wanted to have a conversation with him, so she was okay with that. She checked off his name. Are you bringing a date?
Probably not.
Big surprise there. She wondered how hard up a woman would have to be to go out with someone that surly. Still, she wasn't going to play favorites and not invite him. He was part of the team. She left Levi for last. She hated being a coward about it, but she had to gear herself up for any encounter with him. He was too everything that made her uncomfortable, too grim, too intense, too big, too... just too. And he made her feel insignificant, nervous, jumpy, insecure. All the things she wasn't. No, she had to be honest with herself. He didn't make her feel that way. It was something in herself that was susceptible to whatever it was about him. Her weakness. Her problem. Finally, she ran out of time and couldn't put it off any longer. Everything was set up. The other guys were all coming, so he'd likely already heard about it, and might be wondering why she hadn't invited him. Kind of the way she felt about not being included on their social things. Uh-huh, right. The day Levi Butcher worried about his popularity, or lack of it, would be the official end of the world. She was just trying to psych herself up by imagining him with feelings. Finding the opportunity was more difficult than she'd thought. She didn't want to ask him in front of everyone else, because what if he said no? He wouldn't, of course, but if he did, they might all rethink their acceptance of her invitation. Even worse, she might do something embarrassing, like blushing. Maybe she could just text him, because everyone on the team had everyone else's phone numbers. Because she really, really wanted to go the text route, she mentally snarled at herself for being a coward. She just had to do it, regardless of the circumstances. The next time she saw him, she'd suck it up and do it. The next time turned out to be as she was leaving a session of drone training. He was coming out of a room that she knew housed the evil demons who devised the training scenarios for the drone operators. Levi had likely been giving them ideas on how to trip her up. Swiftly, she ran through this last session, trying to see any mistakes she'd made. The mission had been accomplished, and all operators were home safe. but she couldn't give herself any pats on the back because she could have handled the drone more smoothly. There was always something. No session was ever perfect. Levi gave her a cursory glance as if registering her existence, but nothing more, and turned in the opposite direction. Mentally girding her loins, though what the hell was girding, and weren't there more important body parts that needed protecting? She called, "Levi, wait up!" Clutching her clipboard with its all-important lists, she trotted down the hallway toward him. He turned, planted his booted feet apart, crossed his arms, and with hooded eyes watched her approach. Gina clutched her clipboard as if it were a dependable barrier between them. She began. Then her mental gears engaged, and she looked down at the topmost list, as if double-checking something on it. "I'm having a taco bar at my place, Saturday night. Would you like to come?"
"No,"
he said. She hadn't expected that. She'd had the thought, but she hadn't really expected it. Maybe an excuse. Maybe he already had a date, and they'd made other plans. But his flat refusal was a slap in the face. "Okay." She looked down at the list, trying to keep her expression casual, as if she'd asked him nothing more important than if he wanted coffee. He made a low sound, kind of like a growl, and seized her arm, then immediately released her as if she'd burned his hand.
"Let's go someplace more private," he muttered,
turning and striding off, not once looking back to see if she obeyed. She thought about not following him, about turning around and marching out of the building. A hard lump in her throat made her think about making a dash for the bathroom before she did something embarrassing, like cry. She would not cry. No way would she ever let him know that he'd in any way upset her. But he was the team leader, and she'd spent months doing exactly what he'd said, when he'd said it. Her feet might have dragged as she followed him, but they moved, because Levi had said so. He looked into a couple of rooms before entering what turned out to be a small office. Whoever belonged there had either already gone home or was taking a bathroom break. It didn't matter. Levi claimed the space. As soon as she entered the room, he closed the door and locked it. Locked it. The hair on the back of her neck stood up, and she stopped in her tracks. Her breath seized in her chest, but the alarm she was feeling wasn't one of fear. She wasn't afraid of Levi, not like that. She was afraid of him on a much more feminine level, one she didn't let herself examine because there was no way she was going there. That road was too fraught with emotional landmines, and she was neither crazy nor self-destructive. He gave her an impatient look and ran his hand over his stubbled jaw, the rasping sound like sandpaper against her nerves.
"Shit," he muttered.
She relaxed a little at his expression of mingled impatience and disgust, but she was alone in a small space with him, and her lizard brain was on red alert. Then that dark gaze zeroed in on her, and for a split second, before he could control it, she saw a flash of heat as potent as a volcanic cauldron, bubbling and ready to blow. Then he shut it down, leaving nothing in his expression for her to read.
"I don't shit where I sleep," he said bluntly. "I know you've got the hots for me, and it won't go anywhere. It can't go anywhere. So, no, I won't be your date, or your fuck buddy, or anything else, got it?"
For a moment, Gina was blinded by shock. She could feel herself fumbling with the clipboard, but she didn't know what she was doing. Her whole body was numb, her lips incapable of moving. He'd slugged her with words, but it felt as if he'd used his fist. Then rage hit, rage so white and searing, she felt incandescent with it. Her mind was blank. She looked down at the clipboard and the list of names swam into focus. "Okay, let's see," she said as if to herself. "Boom and his family, check. Voodoo, check. Snake and family, Brian, Jelly, Crutch, Trapper." As she ran through their names, she made little check marks beside them. "Looks as if everyone is coming except asshole." Vigorously, she marked through his name, digging the pen so hard into the paper it tore holes.
"Who's Brian?"
he interrupted in a growl. Brian! She looked up, managed to give him a megawatt smile. He's my date. Clutching the clipboard to her chest, she strolled to the door, flipped the lock, and left. She didn't know how she managed to put one foot in front of the other. She was reeling from his words. Not just the crudeness, but the lethal accuracy. Because he was right. The son of a bitch was right. 8. Gina didn't sleep that night. Her mind wouldn't shut down, wouldn't let her forget the searing humiliation. Levi had seen through her, likely from the start. She'd wasted all that time and effort staying away from him, not talking to him if she could help it, not even looking at him. All for nothing. Damn it. It wasn't as if she were in love with him, God forbid. So she should have been able to play the situation better. The good Lord help any woman who loved Levi Butcher, because she'd need the backup. What she felt was just potential physical chemistry. And she wasn't a fool. She knew that acting on it would be a disaster between team members. Moreover, that strong survival instinct of hers warned her to steer far, far away from him. At least in a personal sense. Levi was intense. Controlled, but intense. Sex with him might be incandescent enough to render her blind. But at most, he'd walk away thinking, okay, tension relieved, that was good. Hey, isn't it almost time to change the oil in the truck? They came at life from two different levels. She was normal and he wasn't. He was like Rambo with Kama Sutra training, considering what he did to her hormones. And it wasn't fair. How classic could the setup be? In a team of alpha males, he was the most alpha, the super high-octane alpha. As the only woman, and by default the alpha female on the team, according to biology and anthropology, and probably a lot of other ologies, within their little group she had no other option than to choose him as her mate. Except she had an option, all right, and her option was to say no. I don't want a mate, she growled into the darkness of her bedroom, though she had to acknowledge that wasn't strictly true. She didn't want to mate, as in form a bond and procreate, but she sure wouldn't mind trying him on for size. She'd never had sex just for the sake of having sex. But for him, she'd be happy to make an exception, if circumstances were different. And if he wasn't such an asshole. Except not now. Now she wanted to geld him. How was she supposed to function with the team now, when she dreaded every minute she'd have to spend in his company? This wasn't not liking someone. She'd worked with people she didn't like before, and she'd made the best of it because her parents had always told their kids that life wasn't perfect, and they'd have to deal with problems all their lives, so deal with them and stop whining. This was different. This was so uncomfortable and humiliating that she wanted to punch him and be done with it. Punching him would get her kicked off the team, right? Since this whole deal had started, over 5 months ago, she'd often comforted herself with the idea of quitting, knowing the whole time that she'd rather eat maggots than quit, because her streak of stubbornness was so ingrained from years of keeping up with her brothers that she didn't know how to quit. But she could have if she'd wanted to. And having that as an out had been nice, because she liked having options. Now she had no option. None. She couldn't quit under any circumstances, because that would mean Levi had won, and she'd rather break every bone in her body than give him the satisfaction. No way would she let him think she couldn't take the stress of being near him, and not being able to have him. Ha! If she'd been chasing after him and embarrassing herself, she could understand why he'd felt the need to say what he did. But she hadn't. She'd kept to herself, never let herself even think of flirting with him. He could have maintained the status quo. He didn't have to rub her nose in her hormonal insanity. She hadn't acted on it, wouldn't have acted on it. Her only path now was to stay the course, to try not merely because she couldn't bear to quit, but because she wanted to become a real member of the team. Her focus had to be on something more than just getting through the next day, something bigger, something more important. As of right now, she swore savagely, Levi was nothing to her other than a team member. He could take his damn overflowing testosterone and entice some other woman, and she hoped he developed erectile dysfunction. Maybe he could be in one of those television commercials, sitting in one of those stupid side-by-side bathtubs in the middle of the woods. The ridiculousness of that thought so entertained her that she chuckled out loud in the darkness. Ah, hell. She wasn't sleeping. At least not until she calmed down some. So she might as well get up and do what she could to get ready for the taco bar tomorrow. She checked the time, saw it was almost 1:30 a.m., and changed that tomorrow to today. What on earth had possessed her to invite everyone to her little condo? Oh, well. She'd get to know the wives, mainly because everyone would practically be sitting on top of each other. And as her mom always said, it wasn't the surroundings, it was the company. And the food. She couldn't stretch her condo and make it bigger, but she could make sure the food was both fun and good. And thank God, because the event was right on top of her. And that gave her something else to focus on. Otherwise, she'd have lain in bed and wallowed in fury and self-pity all night long. As it was, she got up and muttered irritably to herself the whole time she cleaned the condo. After all, it was 1:30 in the morning. Now 2 in the morning. And she was cleaning instead of sleeping. And it was all Levi Butcher's fault. Damn his black heart and eyes and every other part. She wanted everyone who came to have a great time and spend the next day telling Levi all about it. And she might even indulge in a little PDA with Donnelly. Brian. No, that wouldn't be fair to him. Not when she knew there'd be no romantic relationship with him, ever. Damn. She went back to bed at 4, and was so tired she slept like a rock for all of 3 hours. After months of getting up early, her body evidently thought that was what it was supposed to do. Supposedly the guys had perfected what they called the combat nap, so they could grab a quick nap whenever they needed it. But that wasn't something they'd taught her yet. Because there would be kids, and men, even if the kids were left with babysitters, she made a big sheet cake with her mother's special chocolate frosting. She got fancy and made another batch of frosting, colored some of it red and some green, and piped some roses and leaves onto the cake. Baking was something she enjoyed, and she was the only one of 3 daughters to have inherited her mother's touch with cakes. Then, to make the kids laugh, she piped some big red lips and a tongue sticking out, right in the middle of the cake. There, something for everyone. She would have added teeth, but she didn't know the ages of the kids, and she didn't want to scare them. She told everyone to be there at 6, but she was dressed, such as it was, in jeans and sneakers and a lightweight sweatshirt, at 5:30, because she didn't trust the guys not to show up early. They were guys, after all. I must be psychic, she said smugly, when the doorbell rang at exactly 5:38. After a peek through the peephole, she opened the door to Jelly and Crutch. Hi. Did y'all come together?
Nah, we stopped dating a year ago, Crutch said, then laughed at his own joke. We always have our own wheels and our gear, in case we get called out on a mission.
I'll have to do that too, she said in dawning realization. She was on the brink of full membership on the team. She'd been so engrossed in training, she hadn't thought it through to all the ways, big and small, that her life would change.
Yep.
Jelly put his hands on his hips and looked around.
Nice place.
It wasn't, not really. For starters, it was an upstairs unit, which wasn't ideal. It was on the small side. Her furniture tended more toward comfy than stylish. But they were bachelors, so what did they know?
Some framed prints on the walls, a rug or two, window treatments other than plain blinds. And the place likely seemed almost luxurious to them.
Oh, and clean. Clean went a long way.
Glad y'all could come. Can I get you something to drink?
You have any beer?
Crutch asked, looking less than hopeful.
Beer, soft drinks, bottled water, fruit juice for the kids. Come on into the kitchen.
She'd stocked some popular brands, Bud, Coors, Corona, and had them all iced down in a cooler. She'd barely gotten the beers open and in their hands before the doorbell rang again. Donnelly stood in a small entrance alcove, a six-pack of beer in his hand.
I didn't know if you'd have enough, he said, holding up the beer.
Thanks. Want to take it to the kitchen and put it on ice? Crutch and Jelly are already here.
Cool.
From his eager look, she thought he was looking forward to hanging with some of the team guys. None of the other team leaders had followed Levi's lead and involved themselves in their training, so she was the only one who so far had had any real interaction with them. Only a minute behind Donnelly was Snake, with Eilani and their three kids, ages 7, 5, and 2, boy, girl, boy. Eilani held a dripping umbrella, and Snake held the 2-year-old with a firm grip around the kid's legs, which was a good thing because the toddler had thrown himself backward and was hanging head down, shrieking. Gina laughed. All of a sudden, the noise felt like home.
Eilani, Gina,
Snake said in brief introduction. The decibel level from the upside-down kid went up 10 points, and he shifted his grip until he was holding his son by both ankles.
Don't drop him,
Eilani warned, and gave Gina a polite smile.
It's nice to meet you. Thanks for inviting us, though I'm not sure you knew what you were getting into.
I did, Gina reassured her. I'm the middle one of 5 kids, so to me, family means a lot of people and noise. Eilani struck her as somewhat reserved, maybe a little tired and not exactly pleased to be there, so she didn't overdo the friendliness.
Let me take everyone's coats and the umbrella. Drinks in the kitchen. Crutch and Jelly and Brian are already in there.
Who's Brian?
Snake asked as he passed her.
My date. He's assigned to Kodak's team.
He is. I can tell him a thing or three about Kodak.
Next was Trapper, then Voodoo, who for some reason seemed to be wildly popular with Snake's 2 oldest kids. There was no accounting for taste, especially at their ages. Boom and his wife, Teresa, were last, with a gap-toothed 8-year-old boy and a big-eyed 3-year-old girl who was so cute as she clutched Boom's leg and peeped around it that Gina couldn't help squatting down and trying to entice her to talk. A useless effort, because she merely shook her head and clutched Boom's leg even tighter.
Her name is Mia. She'll warm up in a while, and then you'll regret trying to get her to talk.
Teresa smiled, but her eyes were even more tired than Eilani's, and she was in scrubs, which meant she'd either met Boom and the kids here, or they'd been so pressed for time she hadn't taken the time to change.
Thanks for inviting us. Save me from ordering another pizza.
Gina couldn't help shooting a quick look at Boom, who narrowed his eyes at her in warning. Teresa caught the look.
What?
She demanded suspiciously, sending her own narrowed-eyed look at Boom.
Have you been throwing off on my cooking again?
No,
he said with absolute honesty, and beat a path for the kitchen, ignoring the snorting noise Teresa made at his back. With 2 tired wives and a bunch of men who were attacking the beer, Gina deemed that the sooner she got food in everyone, the better. She had the taco beef keeping warm in 2 slow cookers, and all the other components had been chopped and diced and were ready to set out. Within 15 minutes, everyone had tacos except the 2 youngest kids. And she'd had the foresight to get chicken nuggets for them. Snake's toddler had stopped shrieking to run around the condo with a chicken nugget clutched in each hand, yelling,
Chee! Chee!
At his mother. Eilani gave Gina a harassed look.
Sorry. Do you have any cheese other than the shredded? He's a cheese hound.
I do, Gina said, and got a bag of cubed cheese from the fridge.
The cubed cheese evidently called to all the kids, and before she knew it, the bag was empty. But the toddler was quiet and happy. Once everyone had food and drink, the noise level dropped dramatically. The guys were in the kitchen, either seated at her small table or standing with their food on the counters. Donnelly seemed to be having the time of his life. Gina and the other 2 women claimed the living room, where the kids were on the floor pillows, which they thought was great fun. Gina got her own taco and drink and settled on the floor,
kind of in the middle of the kids, so she could keep an eye on them and give their mothers a break. "I'm glad you could all make it," she said. "I know it was kind of last minute. No way were we going to pass up a chance to finally meet Babe," Teresa said, her tone neutral. "Yeah, there was some sticky ground to cover." Gina made a face. "Ace saddled me with that name. It isn't my favorite, so of course no way they would change it." Eilani looked around, as if just now noticing there was someone missing. "Where is Ace? Normally he'd charge through a minefield to get to food." "He said he couldn't make it. Maybe he already had a date." Except he could have used that as an excuse and hadn't bothered. Instead, he'd slapped her down like smashing a fly with a fly swatter. Under the circumstances, she was proud her tone was nonchalant. "Have you been seeing Brian very long?" Teresa asked. "Not all that long." She wasn't going to lie, but neither was she going to be specific. "We worked in the same department before we got reassigned to this project. Seeing each other while we're both in training has been a real challenge." "What exactly are you doing? Unless that's classified, of course." "Basically, I'll be providing additional surveillance on site. Covering their butts," she added. She put her taco down and blew out a breath. "I'm already having nightmares about maybe missing something, and one of them gets hurt. Or worse." But she didn't say that, because the reality of what could happen was something they lived with every day. Just like a military wife, or a cop's or a fireman's wife, they knew that any day could be the day their man didn't come home. Eilani glanced toward the kitchen. The condo had a fairly open design, so she could see almost all the guys. She watched them for a moment, her expression saying without words that she too had nightmares. "They're a tight-knit group. I imagine all the teams are, have to be. How are you fitting in?" Gina made a face and rocked her hand back and forth. "They weren't happy to be saddled with the only woman," she said quietly, not wanting the guys to hear. "For my part, sometimes I feel so choked on testosterone I want to run screaming down the road. Other than a checkout clerk or my mom, I think y'all may be the only women I've talked to in months. I've been training such long hours, I haven't been able to make any time for my friends. And they've stopped asking. It's a wonder I'm sane." Teresa chuckled at that, and her tone warmed a little. "And here I thought they'd be falling all over themselves making things easier for you." That was so genuinely funny that Gina hooted. "They fall all over themselves laughing when I faceplant in the mud. And they don't help me up either." The doorbell rang again. Surprised, Gina started to set her food aside and lever herself up from the floor. Donnelly had just stepped out of the kitchen, and he said, "I'll get it," winking at her as he went past. That was perfect, not only the wink, but him acting as a kind of host, as if he was accustomed to being here. She admired his sharpness. But who was doing the ringing now? She not only didn't think the kids had been all that loud, but she knew for certain her downstairs neighbors were out for the night. They were a young couple who went out with their friends every Saturday night. She began getting up anyway, because whatever had come to her door was likely some problem she'd need to handle. Donnelly opened the door and Levi stood there, rain glistening on his dark hair, his big frame filling the doorway. Gina had been enjoying herself. Not ha-ha great time, but nice enough. But at the sight of him, the bottom dropped out of her stomach, and cold dread spilled in, crowding out pleasure.
"Hey,"
Donnelly said, stepping back for Levi to enter, because of course he recognized him. The room immediately felt suffocating and small, with Levi taking up all the space. He wore a battered brown leather jacket that was spattered with rain across his shoulders, faded jeans, and scarred boots. The first time she'd ever seen him in anything other than fatigue pants and t-shirts. Come to think of it, this was the first time she'd seen any of the guys, other than Donnelly, in civvies. But she hadn't really noticed with them. With Levi, she was sharply and, unfortunately, aware of everything. Because it would look odd if she didn't speak to him, she said, Hi. Thought you couldn't make it. Then she tilted up her water bottle and took a couple of swallows, unable to think of anything else to say.
Turns out I could.
His dark eyes were as expressionless as always.
Hi, ladies and munchkins.
There was a chorus of welcomes.
Plenty of food and beer in the kitchen,
Donnelly said, his easy manner bridging what might have been an uncomfortable silence from her. Levi shed his jacket and hung it on the hall tree beside the door, followed Donnelly to the kitchen. As he passed by her, Gina felt the weight of his gaze, but she didn't look up. What was he doing here? He'd made it plain he didn't want to associate with her in any social sense at all. She couldn't think of any scenario that would have prompted him to show up, because the one thing she didn't expect from him was that he would change his mind. Not only that, even if he did, she hadn't changed hers. Even if she couldn't quite nail down exactly what he thought of her, not good enough, slutty, stupid, she knew how she felt, and angry didn't begin to cover it. Even worse, she knew she'd have to suck it up and swallow that anger, because that was the only way she could continue on the team. The 7 and 8-year-old boys finished their tacos, and being young boys, immediately started looking for something to do. They dashed into the kitchen and in short order found the balcony, which was accessed through sliding doors in the kitchen, and cold, damp air swept through the condo. Knowing exactly what had happened, Teresa called,
Marcus! I'm on it,
Boom said. I didn't know Boom's name was Marcus, Gina commented. I think I'm the only one who calls him that now. The three smallest kids somehow knew something was afoot, and in a flash they were gone, leaving behind juice boxes and a few chicken nuggets. The 2-year-old was amazingly fast, darting past Elani's outstretched hand.
Eric! Elani called. Catch him!
On it! Snake called.
Teresa and Elani remained in their seats, taking their time with their meals. Elani sent Gina a smile. There are 8 big men in there, she said. And just 5 kids. They can handle it. We don't get the chance to hand the kids off all that often, so I'm staying right here. The noise from the kitchen was just short of an uproar, with kids shrieking for some reason, and orders being barked in a distinctly military manner. Gina scooped up some guacamole and munched while she relished the relative quiet of her small living room. She'd missed being with other women. With the guys, she usually felt as if she had to act tough. Okay, so she didn't actually do it, but she felt as if she should. But the training was so physically demanding that she had to make a big effort to do something simple like painting her toenails, and wearing makeup had gone by the wayside. All she wanted was fast and easy, and at the end of the day, she was happy to just be relatively clean. For tonight, she liked leaving her hair loose, instead of pulling it back in either a braid or a ponytail. Liked sitting and talking with people who didn't stink of sweat and dirt. Thinking that made her realize how much she missed her mom and sisters, all her family. And that turned her thoughts to the upcoming holidays. Thanksgiving was just a week away, and her mom had sounded annoyed during their last phone call when Gina couldn't give her a definite answer about going home. How are holidays handled? She asked. I just now realize none of the guys have said anything. Do they usually get to spend holidays at home? Sometimes yes, sometimes no, Elani replied. She settled back on the sofa, her face relaxing as the piercing shrieks from her youngest turned into giggles. There's no way to plan, because we can't predict what might happen that calls them away. It is what it is. During the summer vacation, I take the kids to Hawaii to see my folks. And that's a nice break from the heat and humidity here. Gina laughed. Hawaii? Yes, that's definitely what I'd call a nice break. Where's your home? Teresa asked. You're definitely southern. There was no mistaking that, not with her accent. South Georgia. Are you going home for Thanksgiving? This will likely be your last chance for a while, because you'll finish training soon and then heaven only knows where you'll be. Evidently, Boom had told Teresa that jump training was her last phase, and then she'd join the team full-time, which was more than any of them had told her.
She can't go home until she finishes jump training, said Levi from the kitchen,
proving that he was keeping track of conversation in both rooms. You won't be doing training on Thanksgiving, Teresa retorted, raising her voice to make sure he heard her. Marcus won't anyway. There was a rumble of laughter from the kitchen.
Guess you got your orders, Voodoo said. No argument from me. I like Thanksgiving.
Boom stuck his head around the corner and winked at his wife. I like this, Elani announced out of the blue. Us in the living room and the men in the kitchen. Usually it's the other way around. I could get used to this. She settled back against the cushion with a blissful smile on her face. After dealing with clients, some days the last thing I want to do is see another kitchen. We need to schedule some regular breaks for you two, Gina said. It's a win-win. Everyone comes here, y'all can rest, and I get to be with women. I miss my family. She tried to keep her tone neutral, but all of a sudden she did miss them so much she ached. Getting away from them was good. That was why she'd moved to the D.C. area to begin with, but she hadn't seen any of them in months and months, and that was way too long. If she could go home at Thanksgiving, she was going, even if it was for just that one day. When she got up to cut the cake, the kids all came running.
I want the tongue!
Boom's son, his name was Matthew, shouted. And Levi said dryly, Son, don't we all? Everyone except Gina laughed. But Levi joking around was almost more than she could take. She was tolerating him being here, but that didn't mean she was comfortable with it. After flaying her with words, here he was eating her food and destroying the peace of being in her own space. She didn't want him here. Didn't want to be able to picture him standing in her kitchen. I think I can cut it so all of you get a piece of the mouth, she told the kids. And did just that, making a circle in the middle of the cake, and then doing some artful cutting that allowed each kid some of the red frosting. Snake stepped in and took the small plate for his toddler, who set up a bellow of rebellion. Over the noise, he said, Sit in my lap, buddy, and I'll help you eat the tongue cake, okay?
No, no, mine!
He scooped the struggling, protesting kid up under his arm.
It's yours, I'm not gonna eat it, I'm just gonna help you. Now settle down!
The last three words were said sharply enough that the rebellion subsided to a quivering chin and damp eyes, which changed to contentment as soon as the first bite of cake was in his mouth. It was amusing watching Snake deal with his little hellion, but it did make Gina think twice about wanting kids sometime in the amorphous future. Now, if she could be assured her kids would all be cute charmers like Mia, that would be different. Not that she had to worry about kids now, with not even a hint of romantic relationship anywhere in her life. The whole cake soon disappeared. She felt lucky to be able to serve some of it to Teresa and Elani, and grab the last small slice for herself and retreat to the living room. The rest of the evening went pretty much the same way, with the men grouped in the kitchen with the kids running around. Deep voices rumbled, bursts of laughter came and went. But with the kids around, there were limits to the raunchiness they could descend to. The women were content to sit in the living room and chat. When Mia sought out Teresa, climbed into her lap, and promptly went to sleep, Gina took that as a sign that the families would generally have an early departure time. She had no idea what time the single guys were thinking about leaving, but she didn't mind shooing them out. She'd fed them, she had given them beer. Her social obligations had been met. There wasn't much food left to put away, but she got up and took care of that chore. Elani and Teresa, of course, offered to help clean the kitchen, but Gina refused them with a smile. There isn't much to clean, just some spoons and such. I worship at the altar of disposable plates and cups. Amen, sister. I'm trying to remember the last time I ate on a real plate, Teresa said. Snake came in with the wild child asleep on his shoulder.
We should get these kids in bed, he said. Thanks for having us over, babe.
He paused.
Where did you get that cake? Brody wants a tongue cake for his birthday.
I made it.
Liar.
Am not. I can make cakes, and my mom taught me how to decorate them.
He turned and raised his voice so he could be heard in the kitchen.
Hey, guys! Babe made the cake!
She saw right away where that was going.
Doesn't matter, she said. I'm not baking cakes for y'all, just not.
Aw, come on.
Feeding the bunch of you is not my job. I didn't take you to raise. They kind of left in a group, a few of the guys still trying to talk her into baking for them. Levi wasn't one of them. She had no idea why he'd come, unless he was just looking for free food and hanging with the other guys. He went out without looking at her or saying goodbye, which was fine with her. Donnelly stayed behind, which was also fine. That's what a boyfriend would do. Thanks for coming, Gina said as she began loading the few dishes into the dishwasher. This was nice. Not great, but nice. He was a good guy to help her out the way he had.
I enjoyed it. The guys are cool, aren't they? I'm looking forward to joining my team, though I wish Kodak had made an effort to work me into the team the way Ace has with you.
She snorted. Even though they worked my butt off trying to get me in what they think is acceptable shape? He lounged against the cabinet beside the dishwasher, watching her work.
Yeah, even then. When you go on the first mission, you'll already be part of the team. You know them, and they know you. And the rest of us will be going in cold, not knowing what to expect.
He paused.
Maybe you should send a memo to McNamara that he should make integrated training par for the course.
Maybe you should send the memo. Bring yourself to his attention. Now it was Donnelly's turn to snort.
Yeah, right. Like I want him to notice me.
Then why are you trying to throw me into the cage? He grinned at her, not the least abashed.
Better you than me, right?
He hung around a few minutes more, making small talk, then yawned.
Sorry, he said sheepishly. This program has turned me into one of those mutants who go to bed early.
Gina barely kept herself from yawning, too, and it was just 9 o'clock. She saw Donnelly out and locked the door behind him. Blowing out a breath, she surveyed the condo. Not much damage had been done. She'd have to stack the cushions on the floor in some corner to get them out of the way. But for the most part, things were in fairly good shape. The parents had ridden herd on the kids and kept them pretty much under control. Nothing had been broken, a few things were out of place, and that was it. She'd been to parties with her friends that resulted in way more chaos. She'd been straightening things for a few minutes when the doorbell rang, muttering under her breath because Donnelly must have forgotten something, and she was already out of the mood for company. She nevertheless took the time to check through the peephole. Levi. She stood frozen, her heart thundering in her chest. His effect on her was instantaneous and maddening. What in hell did he want? A second later, she decided she didn't care and left him standing out in the small foyer while she returned to her neatening. He could stand out there all night for all she cared. The bell rang again.
I saw you check the peephole,
he said, his deep voice barely muffled by the wood.
Open the door.
Go away, she retorted.
I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. Tough shit. I have something to say, and it's going to get said tonight, even if I have to kick your door in. I'll have you arrested if you do. No, you won't, because that would screw with the team.
She knotted her fists and clenched her teeth, caught with the truth of that. Working as hard as she had to join the team had made the team a whole lot more important in reality than it had ever been in concept. The guys weren't just guys. They were teammates. She unlocked the door and opened it, but kept her hand firmly on the doorknob and herself planted in the doorway, denying him entrance. If he really wanted in, she wasn't physically able to stop him, but she sure as hell wasn't going to invite him inside.
What?
She demanded truculently, trying to ignore the almost overwhelming physical presence of him. Man mixed with the scent of rain and the chill of a November night. He looked down at her, dwarfing her with his height and muscularity, his mouth thin and his dark eyes with that flat expression.
I came to apologize.
I don't accept your apology, she shot back. No way was what he'd said all right, and he couldn't make it all right.
Then don't. I waited in the parking lot to see if Donnelly left.
Stalkerish much? She muttered. You could have sent me a text, so I could ignore you.
I prefer that approach. Honest.
What I said, it was true. I should have phrased it better, but it was true.
Fine. You aren't good with the English language, I don't care. You can leave now.
When she started to close the door, he slapped his left hand out and stopped it.
You're going to listen,
he growled, taking a step forward so she would have to tilt her head back if she wanted to look at his face. She didn't. She kept her gaze straight forward, staring at his chest. He was so close she could feel the heat coming off his body, feel the fury and frustration almost boiling in him. A hard pulse was pounding in the hollow at the base of his throat, like a visible hammer. He waited, but when she didn't say anything else, he inhaled, blew out the breath.
I left out an important piece of information.
That you're an asshole? I already knew that.
She couldn't relent, couldn't make herself retreat to a more civil position. She had never in her life been so angry and humiliated and, yes, hurt. And she hated feeling like that. She hated herself for being susceptible to him, hated him for knowing.
It goes both ways.
His tone was deep and as full of anger as she felt.
You need to know that. It goes both ways.
Then he turned around and left, his lithe stride taking him down two steps at once. He turned the corner of the landing and she couldn't see him anymore, though she stood there in the open door, listening to his booted steps, the sound of the outer door opening and closing. Numbly, she closed her door and locked it, then slowly sank to the floor with her back against the door, staring sightlessly at nothing. He could have gone forever without telling her that. She wished he had, because nothing had changed, except now regret was added to the pain in her heart. 9. Gina picked herself up from the floor, both literally and figuratively. Sitting there was accomplishing nothing, and she needed to finish putting her space back in order. If she couldn't quite push him out of her mind, she could at least occupy herself by doing something useful. Damn him, she thought yet again. That phrase seemed to come to mind a lot when she thought of Levi. Why hadn't he just kept his mouth shut? She'd been doing a good job of not letting herself acknowledge how attractive she found him. It was that good old survivor instinct of hers at work. Levi wasn't a man who would even be a comfortable casual date, much less anything more serious. She hated being so aware of him, hated the way her pulse rates shot up like fireworks whenever he was near. Or when he spoke to her, even if he was barking an order. She could easily become obsessed with him, and she hated that kind of weakness, so she hadn't let herself do a lot of things. She hadn't let herself daydream about when she'd blistered her feet, and he'd tended to them, or how he'd ordered the perfect boots for her feet. Well, why should she? She paid for the boots. It wasn't as if they were a gift. She felt silly for liking them because Levi was involved in getting them for her. The boots didn't mean he cared, regardless of what he said about it going both ways. What he cared about was the team functioning as a well-oiled unit, all parts of it healthy and able to do the job. So she turned him on, big deal. He wouldn't let that intrude on the team dynamics, and she agreed with him. That was why she'd kept herself to herself. She hadn't let herself dream about him. Hadn't let herself wonder about his taste, or what it would be like to have that laser attention focused on her. Hadn't let herself flirt, had been strictly business in her dealings with him. That was what hurt. He'd slapped her down for no reason. Or maybe he thought she was weak, and he'd just been waiting for her to, what? Tackle him and ravish him? Her cheeks burned with anger, because she had entertained a fleeting speculation about the size of his dick. How could she not? Once, when he'd squatted down, the angle had been just right, and she'd seen that big bulge, and she was human. Of course she'd enjoyed a brief fantasy. Evidently the fantasy hadn't been brief enough, because he must have seen something, and it was her fault, because the other guys had also done some squatting and all sorts of other positions, and not once had she checked out their packages. Just Levi's. Damn him. Her thoughts kept circling back to the same path, the same words. And finally, she was so annoyed with herself, she went out on the balcony without a jacket, to stand in the dark and let the cold, damp air chill.